St. James's Palace, October 1558. I hate autumn. I always have. It heralds the onset of megrims, endless days of gloom, nights of frozen misery. It is so dark. Why haven't they come to light the torches or stoke the fires? Where on God's earth are they? I move my arm, dislodging a pile of books, and a tankard of ale crashes to the floor. A dark stain spreads like blood. The noise alerts my women, who should be attending me. The door opens and a face peers tentatively around the edge. Expecting it to be Susan, I frown vaguely at the child who creeps forward. Who are you? Where are my women?
You sent everyone away, Your Majesty, on pain of death.
I grunt acknowledgement. I had forgotten. My damned women are always fussing and fiddling, whispering and watching, waiting for me to die. I get tired of it. I squint at the blur of her white face that seems to float in the darkness. I wave my arm again. Get someone to light the torches and then do something about that fire. She bobs a curtsy. I hear the door open and close and know I am alone again. A scattering of raindrops peppers the windows. A draught eddies around my ankles. It is only October. The thought of the long winter months ahead fill me with gloom. Perhaps I will not live to see the spring. I let my chin drop to my chest and close my eyes. Sleep will help me forget. It is a refuge, my only friend. The present blurs. Music plays in the recesses of my mind. Music and laughter. I am slipping into oblivion when the pain bites deep in my gut. I cry out and clutch my belly.
Your Majesty, should I call the physician?
Susan Clarentius, who is braver than the rest, bursts into the chamber and bends over me. I feel the anxious hush of her breath against my cheek. I push her away. I told you I wanted to be alone. She stands over me, just as my lady governess used to do. Folding her hands across her stomach, she sniffs dismissively.
But if you are sick, Your Majesty,
I said I wanted to be alone. Get that girl to stoke the fire. I will tolerate nobody else near me tonight. Do you understand? The effort of anger makes me cough, and she takes a step forward, but I point toward the door. Out! Now! She hesitates for just a moment before curtsying low and leaving me in peace. I close my eyes. When I open them again, I become aware of stealthy movements. My neck is stiff from sleeping in my chair and there is drool on my chin. I turn toward the hearth where someone is kneeling, trying to silently rouse the flames.
Is that you, girl? Are you still here?
She rises.
Yes, Your Majesty.
By her voice, she can be no more than 12. My eyesight is so dim. I have to imagine how she looks. A child in grubby skirts, the beginnings of a hole on her left shoe. What must it be like to be such a person, so lowly? I doubt it can be as hard as it is to be queen. Maybe she would make a better job of ruling than I have. When I came to the throne, I had such good intentions. I meant to put everything right. But I can't even pinpoint when the trouble began.
Do you think it is easy being queen?
I speak suddenly. The girl gasps and drops her poker, rolls to her feet in a flurry of petticoats.
I beg pardon, Your Majesty?
Being queen. I poke my head forward, trying to bring her features into focus.
I suppose you think it's as simple a task as lighting fires or fetching buckets. Well, you're wrong. It is hard. Hard, do you see? I thought the people would love me. They loved my father, didn't they, despite everything he did?
They always loved him.